Hello and welcome to the Green Room Golf Course podcast from the British and International Golf Greenkeepers Association. Thanks for listening to this podcast, which sheds a light upon the golf industry and what it takes to maintain a modern course. I hope you enjoy the show. Hello everyone and welcome to this week's edition of the podcast. Here at Bigger House, September is an incredibly busy month for the association. We've got the BMW PGA Volunteer Support Team, the Solheim Cup. At the end of the month, there's the Bigger National Championship sponsored by Rigby Taylor. And this past week has seen the 31st hosting of the Toro Student Greenkeeper of the Year Awards. Presiding over the finals was Bigger's Stuart Green, and I'm delighted to say he's here to talk about this year's awards and how they went down. How are you doing today, Stuart?
Lovely. It's Friday.
Stuart, first off, for people that don't know, tell me a little bit about your role at Bigger.
Well, I've been with Bigger now since July 2012, so it's 7 years. And my role has developed over that period to become head of member learning. And I'm responsible for the Toro Student Greenkeeper of the Year, Master Greenkeeper Award, the Baroness Scholarships, the Textron Higher Education Scholarships and Refund of Fees, the CPD system, and anything else that Mr. Jim Croxton believes that should be sitting on my desk.
So what's actually your background, Stuart, before you came to Bigger?
Before I joined Bigger, I was an apprenticeship course manager for Askham Bryan College. I was responsible for recruiting and training and assessing apprentice greenkeepers at level two.
Okay, and do you have a history of greenkeeping yourself?
Yes, I started greenkeeping 30 years ago, in 1989, at Bushy Hill Golf Club in Watford.
Okay, so what are the Toro Student Greenkeeper of the Year Awards? Give me the introduction to them.
Well, what we done is we have collaborated, particularly with Toro as well, who obviously have been the sponsor of the event for the last 31 years, as you pointed out. We look to find the best student greenkeeper in the UK and Ireland every year, and that student greenkeeper who wins gets to go to America for 6 weeks on a turf grass scholarship to the University of Massachusetts. They also get to go to the GIS show and the Toro factory in Minneapolis. 3 years ago, we introduced a young student greenkeeper of the year for those greenkeepers under the age of 20 at time of application to encourage more young greenkeepers to actually apply for the award and get involved and hopefully to sort of allow them a stepping stone further into their careers. And to also really showcase what our industry has to offer. And that prize is a fantastic prize as well, because they get to go to the Vidabarm Golf Club in South France for a few weeks' work placement. They also get to attend BTME and continue to learn and on an expenses paid trip as well. So it's a fantastic opportunity for all the attendees who come to the awards. We have generally about 11 to 12 student greenkeepers here at Bigger House in September now, which is a fantastic opportunity, and also that gives them the great ability to network with each other and get to know each other. And generally everybody who leaves here is leaving with a contact and a friend within the industry, and it's amazing. With all the years we've had the awards, they've all generally stayed in contact with each other. So it's a brilliant award for that, and that opportunity is fantastic for them. So,
brilliant. Am I right in saying you had a record number 46 nominations this year?
We actually had 48.
48.
We had 48 applicants. A couple didn't turn up, but that happens every year. And anybody who's done interviews knows you do get a couple of no shows. But
with so many nominations, you said only 12 get invited to the finals?
Correct, yeah.
How do you narrow it down?
Good question. What we do is we take half and get rid of those, because those are the unlucky ones.
What does that mean? You don't just throw them in the bin. What does that mean?
No, I'm only joking. What we have on the regional interviews, myself, I will sit in every single interview, but we use head greenkeepers course managers from the regions that we're actually interviewing, and also a representative from Resync Turf Care will also sit on the interview panel. And then what we do is we have a scoring matrix where we will score score the candidate based on the questions we're asking. And there are some greenkeeping questions and there are some machinery questions and there's some general sort of interview questions mm-hmm. that you would expect. And we score that, and that allows me then to, at the end of the day, narrow down the finalists from the interviews.
So regional interviews. Mm-hmm. And there's five regions for Bigger. So you have five regional interviews. Mm-hmm. What do you do? Where do you guys?
We don't actually have regional interviews. It's just in the different regions.
Okay.
So we kind of, what we do is when we get all the applications in, we look at where the biggest concentration of people are, and then we'll kind of sit them in those sorts of areas. The Irish guys, actually, we just invite over and they come see them, generally Manchester or Gatwick.
Okay, fair enough. So it's yourself, it's a representative of Resync Turf Care, who are Toro distributors. What are you actually looking for when you're sitting down and chatting to these candidates? What is it that you're actually looking for from them?
What we're looking for is we're looking for someone who's outgoing, who can communicate really well, who can and talk about themselves and talk about what they've done. And we're looking really for, particularly because it's a Student Greenkeeper of the Year Award, we're looking for what they've actually learnt while they've been doing their course. So we're asking them questions about sort of basic greenkeeping, the basic greenkeeping knowledge. So we're asking, you know, can you tell the difference between a Lynx course and a Heathland course and a Partner course and a Downland course? We'll ask them, you know, can you identify different characteristics of weeds and pests and diseases and things like that? So there's some questions on that, and we'll ask some machinery questions about what they've really just finding out a bit about what they know. And we ask them a bit about what they do, what they know about Bigger and the Toro Student Greenkeeper of the Year Award. Mm-hmm.
One of the things you think when you say Toro Student Greenkeeper of the Year is you instantly imagine that people are going to be younger. But actually, you found that there's a much wider spread of ages.
Yeah, that's correct. In horticulture, and this is one thing I discovered when I was working at Askham Bryan College, that horticulture generally, and I use horticulture in the general sort of terms of working as a landscaper or in a glasshouse and in greenkeeping, kind of, it will get bracketed into that horticultural umbrella. But what we generally find is that it's more of a career change. You don't get many young people leaving school coming into horticulture, stroke greenkeeping. If they do, it's because they've had a family member in there, or they know someone really well, or they've been a really keen golfer, but they're not going to be good enough to become a pro. So they like to want to stay in the golf industry and look at other avenues. But what you do find is that many people come to greenkeeping, particularly as a career change. They've worked in banking, they've worked behind a desk, or they've worked driving vehicles, and they're just, it's not really for them. So they've liked playing golf, and they've discovered greenkeeping as a new option, and then obviously fall in love with it.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay, so we've done the regional interviews, we've passed, we've been selected as finalists, we've got that call from Deb Burnett to say that we've made it through. The 2 days of the finals take place each September in the Bigger House in Aldwark, North Yorkshire. What do those 2 days comprise of?
Well, all the students arrive on Monday afternoon, and on the Monday evening we have all the students together and we do a debate, which is just for the main award finalists. Mm-hmm. Then on the Tuesday, the young and the main finalists arrive and they do a multiple choice test. And that's when they kind of split off. So for the main award, what they'll do is they'll be issued with an essay question of about 500 words. They will then have to do, through the day, they will do a presentation to a group of judges who are about themselves and they'll be asked some questions a bit more depth than what they were asked at regional interviews. They'll also have to do some identification of grass and grasses, which we threw in this year for the main award winners, finalists. And then what we did, then for the young award, we then take each individual student out onto the golf course here at Aldwark Manor, and we walk one of the holes, and we'll ask them questions about what do they see, what do they do at their golf course, do you know what type of soil this is, can you identify that pest, what's that tree, weed, and just really trying to find out a little bit more about the depth and breadth of knowledge that they have gained. And can they talk to us through the maintenance operations that they see and what they do on their golf course? Can they bring those sorts of two things together? And then they will also get to do the grass and grass seed ident as well, because we're that evil.
Fair enough. Is the winner of the award each year the guy that knows, or the guy or girl that knows the most about greenkeeping? Is it as simple as that?
No, it's not as simple as that. It really comes down to it's all encompassing. It's everything. It is how they do with their presentation. What's their knowledge like? How do they present themselves through their essays, their dress, and so we're looking for a very all-rounded candidate, because. Mm. The winner of the main award is going to literally just be dropped into North America in the middle of January, where it could be down to about minus 30, minus 40. And once they get there, they've got to work their way to the university. So we're looking for someone who has got drive, determination. They do have the knowledge, because the main award, the actual prizes and the six-week package is quite intense. So we're looking for someone who can handle that. But we're looking for someone as well who can really represent bigger Toro and Resync.
Brilliant. So this year, the winner was Jason Norwood. Mm-hmm. The judges decided he had all those qualities. He's only been greenkeeping for 2.5 years. He didn't do particularly well at school. Mm-hmm. But now, age 30, he can call himself an award-winning greenkeeper. What is it that he did that impressed the judges so much?
Everything. He delivered on everything. His presentation was very, very good. His essay was excellent. His knowledge of his grass identification was good, and he answered the multiple choice test really well. So he kind of fitted, he ticked all the boxes for us.
Oh, fantastic. And Tom Bromfield, the winner of the Toro Young Student Greenkeeper of the Year mm-hmm. award, he's only 18. And he's just starting out his career in greenkeeping. He's just passed his level 2, I think. I think so, yes. Yeah, he's just passed it. What secured the victory for Tom?
With Tom, his knowledge out on the golf course was exceptional. He was, when we took him out onto the course, he was able to answer our questions. He was able to put himself to compare what he saw at the golf course to what he does at his course, and he was able to talk, for someone who was only 18, he was able to talk very knowledgeably about the maintenance practices that they do at Trentham Golf mm-hmm. Club, which is where Tom's from, and he answered our questions really well. And but he also the other thing is he listened as well, because it's not the coursework's not just about us grilling the student. It's a two-way thing, because the coursework happens between myself and our vice president at Bigger, which this year is Colin Webber. So, and Colin has an amazing amount of knowledge and information in his head, particularly about environmental matters. And we did a lot of looked at a lot of the trees out on the golf course. And so there's an element of we're doing an interview and we're finding out what that candidate knows, but we're also trying to impart some knowledge as well as part of their journey. So yeah, I mean, Tom was exceptional.
Cool, fantastic. Okay, as you mentioned, 31 years Toro Student Greenkeeper of the Year awards. You've been involved for a few. How many have you done now?
I think this was my eighth set of regional interviews, and main award.
Yeah, brilliant. What do you hope will be the legacy of these awards to the industry going forwards?
I hope to feel that this recognizes greenkeepers who and the students who really put some effort in, mm-hmm. Who are looking to better themselves. I hope it, what it does is it allows our industry to sell itself better in a lot of respects, but also to educate and improve the knowledge of young greenkeepers coming up through the industry. Because we estimate we've probably got about 600 level twos, maybe 650 level two apprentice greenkeepers throughout the UK, England, Scotland, Ireland and Wales. And I think what we hope and what we would like it to do is to say, you're not just a greenkeeper, you're better than that. Come and test yourself. Come and really put yourself out there and tell everybody how good you are.
Brilliant. All right. Thanks. Thanks, Stuart. Cheers for your time. Okay. That was great from Stuart, and I hope you found that really interesting. Next, I'm pleased to be able to bring you interviews with this year's Toro Student Greenkeepers of the Year, Tom Bromfield of Trentham Golf Club in Stoke-on-Trent. And first up is Jason Norwood of Rudding Park Golf Club in Harrogate. I hope you enjoy the show. You are 30.
Yes.
Is that right?
I turn 31 this Sunday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thanks.
That's a nice birthday present. What's your journey to greenkeeping? How long have you been greenkeeping?
It's just about 2.5 years now.
All right, what were you doing before then?
I can start from the very beginning. So I left school in 2005, worked at a wood yard for 18 months, which was like working in a gym. Always wanted to do...
Carrying wood around.
And built like a beast. MDF and yeah, you were ripped by the end of it.
And that when you met your wife, right?
I met her at a Mexican restaurant in Harrogate.
Oh,
when,
right.
So that was when I was still at school. We were both pot washers there.
Oh, that's nice.
And we worked there for 6 months between us before we both met. And then as soon as we were lucky enough to work together, Laura took my MSN details, but she's still got the slip of paper that I gave her to say this is what was the
we all had weird MSN
Pat email. McGroin.
No chance.
Yeah, and she's still got that bit of paper now. And I was 16 years old, and she went and said, come on, we're going to go to Leeds. And yeah. I'd never, I was a very boring teenager, never went to Leeds or anything, and she took me on the train to Leeds, and yeah.
That was your first date?
The rest is history.
Where did you go in Leeds?
We just went shopping.
Oh.
Went shopping, and then we came back, went to the Odeon in Harrogate, and went and watched Charlie and the Chocolate Factory with Johnny Depp.
That film's that old.
Yeah.
Flipping heck. I didn't realise it was that old.
Yeah, so
there you go.
So did that. Finished school, didn't do particularly well. Worked at Harrogate Timber, which was an experience because...
Hard work, I imagine.
The boss there learned every single penny out of you.
Yeah.
The wage was all right for... I think I was taking them £210 a week, which as a 17-year-old at the time was like, wow, this is amazing. But I always wanted to do my PGA training in golf, and I managed to get the assistant's job at Ripon. So not too far away from
so you're Harry. Talented golfer, are you?
I was okay.
Where do you play off?
I got down to four.
That's great.
Yeah, I don't play as much now. I couldn't do it again now. Every now and again I might be able to shoot a decent score. But
yeah.
I was there for 3.5 years, and it never really... I got into the position to do the course. Just couldn't afford to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Went and worked up at the Army Foundation College then. I worked in the post room originally, and then went and worked. I went and did the shooting ranges where the 16-year-old kids would learn how to shoot a rifle.
And what did you have to do there?
up at the Army Foundation College.
That's the shooting range.
Yeah. So they've got 2 25-metre ranges.
Yeah.
Where they shoot bullets, live bullets down.
And what was your job?
Fix and repair the targets and set it all up for them. So I did that, and also it's called a DCCT, and the easiest way to describe it is a real-life Call of Duty. So you've got decommissioned weapons that fire laser bullets at a screen.
Yeah.
And it gives you all the cant angle, the butt pressure, trigger squeeze, so you can literally learn how to fire a rifle. I had to operate that as well. I got to spend a week down in Brecon to learn how to do that.
Right, but you weren't part of the army.
No,
you hadn't joined the army.
No military background whatsoever.
You were some kind of staff alongside.
Yeah, just a contractor that went and worked alongside the British Army.
That's weird.
And then I got incredibly bored with that, and ended up getting the job at Rudding.
So you went from that to greenkeeping.
Yeah, I was that bored at the Army Foundation College that I kept saying to my manager at the time, I've got nothing to do, can I have other jobs to do? And they kept dotting me about here, there and everywhere just so I could fill my time. I ended up winning the Employee of the Year in the December 2016, and then 4 weeks later handed my notes in, left and went to Rudding.
So no stranger to awards then?
This is only the second award I've ever won, so yeah.
What was it about greenkeeping? Was it just because the job came up?
No, I always looked at doing it. When I was still the assistant at Ripon, that was one of the areas that I looked at going into. I remember speaking to the head greenkeeper at the time, Richard Spensley at Ripon, and saying, what do I need to do to become a greenkeeper? But I just never did it, to be honest. I don't know why.
You just tried a different route.
Just ended up where I was and... Yeah.
So you were assistant pro at Ripon.
Yeah.
And then went to the army.
Yeah.
Job. Because it paid better.
A little bit, and also Laura works there. She still does. So it's kind of a shoe-in as well. Right. It was quite easy to get
closer to the wife.
Yeah.
Fair enough. When did you actually get married?
2012, in Rhodes. We got married at St. Paul's Bay.
Very nice.
On Friday the 13th.
Okay.
But in Greece, it's Thursday the 13th that's their unlucky version, so we're all right.
Okay, fair enough. So 7 years of marriage, that's impressive to start with, yeah. You started at Rudding Park as an assistant greenkeeper. That was 2.5 years ago now?
Yeah.
Did you know straight away that this was the thing that you wanted to pursue?
Yeah, it was tough to begin with.
Yeah,
because there's an awful lot to learn. I was always under the impression that grass was just grass. That's all it was.
Yeah,
I couldn't tell you the difference between an oak tree to a. I knew what silver birch was because it's quite distinctive, but apart from that, I couldn't tell you what a different tree was. Like I said about the grass, didn't have a clue about that, and just the amount of effort that goes into maintaining a golf course.
Yeah,
it was. It was.
As a pro, you're in and around a golf course or an assistant pro, but I'm the same as a golf journalist. It doesn't cross your mind, does it? Like what the different grasses are, and you know that the greenkeepers do something, but you.
I thought that they just went in, mowed the grass.
And they were back. We're all guilty of that at one point, aren't we?
Yeah.
But. Was it that uncovering that knowledge that you thought, wow, this is actually really interesting?
Yeah, definitely. I remember going for the interview with Richard the head, and then Dan the deputy, and they were explaining all the bits and pieces, and they're like, we'll put you through this, and you'll do these qualifications, and it really appealed to me that.
Mm-hmm.
To actually learn something again, I've never really... done any education since leaving school.
Yeah.
I didn't enjoy school at all. It was more just the messing about side that I enjoyed.
Yeah.
And I think that's more because it was about subjects that I didn't really find interesting, whereas I came into the greenkeeping industry and saw how much there was that you could learn about and really enjoyed it. And I think that's why the last year or so, I've really tried to make the most of it.
When did your relationship with Bigger start? Because you're very active, obviously, with Bigger.
Yeah. So it will have been... I got my Bigger card in August 2017. And I only got that because Richard organised a golf day. He likes to do a couple of days out every year for the lads. And we went and played at Headingley, so I needed to have my card then. Saw, living in Harrogate, I've heard of BTME, so I went along to that, and that was kind of the first time that I became, actually tried to make the most of it. Went to the Young Greenkeepers Conference, that was all I did. And then it was when Sandra went and emailed to say about the course walks.
Yeah.
And I went along to the first one at Fulford and absolutely loved it. And then since then, I've done everything that I can.
What is it that you liked about visiting different courses?
You see how they operate and you see what they do. Because I've only worked at Rudding, that's all I know. When you go to other places, that's
different way of doing things. Yeah. And you take things back to your course, don't you?
Yeah.
Now, you're from Harrogate, like you say, and every January, were you wondering, why is it so busy? What's going on? What's that?
I heard of it first back when I was the assistant at Ripon.
Yeah.
And it was, I remember, it's James Crowley now, who's the deputy at Ripon. He just started greenkeeping, and he came back and had a bag full of all the hats and all the freebies that you get. It's amazing then. You get bigger membership and we can go and play golf wherever we want. And so that's when I first heard of BTME Bigger.
Yeah. And when you actually went along to BTME, how did you find that? Did it inspire you to keep going? Or?
Yeah. so I went along to the one seminar in 2017, really enjoyed it, and then I knew for the following year I'd make the most of it. Living in Harrogate, I can go out there and I don't need to worry about the accommodation. My in-laws' house is a 2-minute walk away from the conference centre, so I can park up there, walk up, do everything that I do.
Yeah, it's ideal for you. It is actually ideal for you to be where you're placed. And I'm glad you're getting stuck in with that. It's brilliant. At what point did your Toro Student Greenkeeper of the Year journey begin?
Thinking about it, it was 2018, so that was when I probably first became a bit more active with Bigger, just you mentioning that then, because I was a regional finalist for the 2018 event. That was when it really began.
So that's a good message to keep trying, even if you don't get through the first time.
So I'd only been doing my level two for probably 6 months when I had my interview, and I did okay on the Toro side of things. I was fine with all what Bigger are asking about your CPD and what they do. And then it was more what. I had Scott Reeves with me. He was asking me the greenkeeping side of the questions, and that was the area that I struggled in because I didn't know enough. Yet. And typically, what he asked me the very next day was what I was set to start learning. He's like, but as a result of that, that's why I went to the SDRI research day. That came up to book to go to that. So I thought, even if I take 1% away, it will be a benefit. The course walks and then BTME, trying to maximise. I did 10 seminars this year. Just to try and build up, because I thought I won't have an opportunity to do the Student Greenkeeper of the Year again because I'll finish my level two by then. I don't know if I get to start level three. I thought this 2019 is the only opportunity I'm going to get again for maybe a couple of years. Let's really go for it.
Oh, so you were really directed towards this. You really have worked towards this.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good to hear. That's really interesting. But obviously, it's just about the world. It's all the education you get around it. Where are you training?
With MySCO.
MySCO.
Andy Kenworthy's my tutor. He's been brilliant. He's also James Dawson's tutor as well, who was the runner-up.
So brilliant. Did he nominate you? Who nominated
you? Richard nominated me.
Right.
I spoke to Andy last night and he said, I'm really proud. I got two in the final. And I said, well, I'm not going to tell you who finished second, but you probably get the idea.
Yeah.
And it says, that's typical that I've got two in the final and I still don't get to go to America because James was nominated by his course manager as well, I believe.
Oh, right. Okay. So, well, hopefully you'll learn that lesson for next year. You mentioned going on to America. You've got a young fam.
Yeah.
Max is 4. And remind me?
Harvey.
Harvey's 1.
Yeah.
And part of your prize is 7 weeks at UMass, University of Massachusetts. What's that going to be like?
I'm not going to lie. It's going to be very, very challenging. In the 14 years that we've been together, we spent 1 week apart when we first started going out, and then the 5 days I had down at Brecon in 2015, and that's it.
Yeah.
We've always been together since then. But it's a short-term pain for hopefully a massive long-term gain. And
I think so.
I know it's going to be tough for her, but we've got both sets of family are in Harrogate as well, so we've got an incredible support network that will help and hopefully make it as bearable for her as it can be.
Yeah. How much of a help has she been through this process?
She's been absolutely massive with it. Without her help, this wouldn't have happened. I think the biggest thing that I really spent a lot of time on was the presentation. She was a qualified graphic designer, so she really maximised that presentation for me and made it look spectacular. That when we were sat at the bar in the early hours of the morning, I wanted to show it off to them and say this is what. And yeah, without her help, it wouldn't have happened. So for that, I'm eternally grateful for.
Fantastic. You do realise, though, you're just going to have to make this Christmas exceptional. You're going to have
every
to spend
Christmas
a lot of money.
Every Christmas is exceptional.
Yeah. All right, fair enough. She won at life, right?
Yeah.
No, you're just going to have to put some extra effort in this year, I think.
Yeah.
And obviously bring souvenirs back. What are you most looking forward to about the prize?
Just learning more stuff, to be honest.
Yeah.
That's basically the last year, that's what it's been about, is just trying to learn as much as I can, and the opportunities to do that.
Yeah.
I can't wait. And the standard has been set first by Nick and then by Dan this year.
Yeah.
Gaining the accolades that they did. And Dan was telling me last night, Nick went and said he got the best results. And so I thought, I'm going to beat that. And yeah, I went, so there's probably not much chance that I'll beat what Dan's done, but we'll see. I'll give it my best shot.
Yeah, you sound like you're up for a challenge, up for a bit of hard work. Yeah. What happens next? What happens afterwards? What are your ambitions for your career?
I want to do my level 3. The management side is definitely something that I want to be to really focus on. Mm-hmm. And hopefully for assistant deputy course manager somewhere.
See where you end up.
I'd love to work up in Scotland.
Yeah.
As much as people, when I've spoken to them at the conferences and they say, don't go up there, there's no money or anything. Me and Laura both have something about Scotland. It's one of our favourite places to go on holiday.
Yeah.
It's where golf was.
Links, would you like to?
That would be the pinnacle, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'd love to do that.
Nice little boost on your CV, yeah. I think. Well done, mate. Thank you very much for chatting. I appreciate that. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
All right, bud. Thank you very much.
Did you know that Bigger and Campy Turf Care Systems have teamed up to offer one Bigger member a money can't buy trip to Jacksonville, Florida? The Excellence in Communications Award recognised the important role that effective communication plays in the life of a modern greenkeeper. Bigger members are getting better and better at communication, and we want to acknowledge those who are really leading the way. The main prize is the Innovation and Thought Leadership category. This features a monthly prize whereby if you write an article and send it along for inclusion in Greenkeeper International and it's then chosen to be featured in the magazine, you'll instantly win a £100 Continue to Learn voucher. Then, at the end of the year, we'll take a look at all the features we've received and select our favourite, with the winner receiving a £750 cash prize and an all-expenses-paid trip to Jacksonville, Florida, courtesy of Campy Turf Care Systems. While on the trip, you'll visit the Air2G2 factory, TPC Sawgrass, the Daytona International Speedway, and TIAA Bankfield, which is the home of the Jacksonville Jaguars. There are also two other prizes up for grabs. The New Media Award recognises the growing importance of social media and other digital platforms to the greenkeeping profession. Whether you're using social media, podcasts, blogging, video content, or anything else to engage with golfers, we want to hear from you. Finally, the Outreach Award recognises that face-to-face communication is just as important as any other form. We're seeking to recognise those bigger members who have engaged with their local community, whether by inviting school children to take part in ecology days, getting involved in local fundraisers, or anything else. The winners of the New Media and the Outreach Awards will both receive a £400 cash prize, with the winners to be revealed on the Campy Turf Care Systems stand at BTME 2020. Get involved with the awards or submit an article by emailing comsawards@bigger.co.uk or head to our website. Links and further details can be found in the show notes. Best of luck.
Congratulations on winning Toro Young Student Greenkeeper Year, just the fourth one, name going down in history. Tell me, what were your thoughts? So how did you react when you announced this winner? You've had a few hours now for it to settle in.
Well, I was a bit shocked, really. You know, obviously, I've just finished my level two, so I've done my endpoint assessment, I've done a coursework, but that was a very different coursework. It was different trees, different weeds, and...
Yeah, it's not your course.
Yeah, it's a different course as well, yeah. And I sort of thought, you know, it wasn't probably the best coursework I've done. Obviously, I've done practice ones, but, you know, I feel like I did it in best shots, and that's all you can do at the end of the day. And I felt like I did well on the test and the grass ident.
Yeah.
So it was just about really just giving me my best shot and reaching for the result. But like I say, I was shocked at first, but it sunk in now.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about yourself, mate. You're only 20.
No, I'm 18. 19 next
what?
Month.
What?
19
so
next month.
So you are 18, 19 next month. Flipping out. Sorry about that. It's a blinding start to your career, obviously. How did you get into greenkeeping? Is it straight from school?
Yeah, so I left my high school, Trenton, at 16. I had the long summer break.
Yeah.
I had no idea what I wanted to do.
Yeah,
and I've been playing golf for a long time now, so I've obviously seen greenkeepers on the course working, and the opportunities come at Trenton was obviously a hard one to turn down, and at the time it made sense, you know, give it a go, see what comes of it, and since then I've really enjoyed it.
Brilliant. Ed, your course manager, Ed's a good bloke, isn't he?
Yes, yeah.
He likes to engage with apprentices, likes to take on a lot. And I imagine he does a lot to inspire you and to develop you. Would that be fair to
say? I mean, obviously at Trenton we've got Reese, who's about a year qualified now, and Jack, who's the younger one, who's about halfway through his apprenticeship. So, you know, Ed's very good at, you know, getting the apprentices to work with each other, to help each other out. Ed's a great boss, as well as Jim the deputy. Both been really helpful for me in my career so far. So
brilliant. Reese Thomas, has he been to Toro Student Greenkeeper
Year? Yeah, he was here last year for the finals.
He was last year for the finals. Yeah. How did he do? I can't remember.
I don't think he got the top two.
I didn't think so. You're going to go, you get to go back now as bragging rights. Yeah. Is that right? So it's a young team, that's really good. You got into greenkeeping because you play golf, you said, right?
Yeah.
But you've not just got into greenkeeping, you've obviously engaged with the education. How are you finding it? Are you amazed at how much there is involved in greenkeeping?
It's, you know, obviously as a golfer you see the basics, it's just cutting grass or it's just this and that. But when you actually start, there's a far wider range of topics and things you've got to learn. It's actually mind-blowing at first.
Yeah.
Because the science and, you know, the thought process behind certain things are quite amazing, really. And, it's really one of the most interesting part of the jobs.
Yeah. You've been amazed at how interesting it is. And,
yeah.
And that keeps you engaged and keeps you involved and wanting to develop.
Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, What are you hoping to achieve in your career?
So obviously I've just finished my level two. Uh-huh. I hope to maybe in the next year push towards my level three.
Yeah.
Maybe push towards some other qualifications such as chainsaws, spraying.
Do you want to travel? Because you can do that with greenkeeping.
Maybe in the future. At the moment, I'm quite enjoying myself at Trenton, so thank you.
Fair enough. Tell me a little bit about yourself. Your family, do they golf? Are they golfers?
Yeah, my dad got me into golf. My dad's been playing for 30 years or so.
Okay. Amateurs?
Yeah, he's amateur. Oh. He's off quite a good handicap. He's off 8.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Where did he play? Did he play at Trenton or...?
No, he's always wanted to play at Trenton, but it's a little bit too expensive. So we play at Trenton Park, which is across the road, and Ballaston, which we're members at now. Obviously, different side of greenkeeping there, straight away from Trenton, mm-hmm. which is quite a good now to look at as a greenkeeper to see the differences in the three courses, should I say. But yeah, it was really my dad who got me into golf.
Okay, all right, that's good. And Trenton, like you mentioned, is a prestigious course. Some quite famous members there, don't you?
Yeah, I haven't actually met him, but I've heard that Robbie Williams has been at Trenton.
Oh, right.
Yeah, we've had a few footballers play in the course over the years. Mm. We have a Stoke City, their local team, in the Championship. They have a day every year, so we've had Peter Crouch.
Really?
Jack Butland, Mark Hughes.
Okay.
All playing the course as well.
Fair enough. You get to... Stay out of their way,
we have to stay out of their way.
Shake a couple of hands, I hope, at the end. I don't know, are they any good? I imagine.
Oh, Jack Butland's a good player.
Good player.
I've only seen him from a distance on the driving range, but looks like he's a good player.
I imagine Peter Crouch, I don't imagine him being.
Oh, you can't miss him. He's huge. Yeah. Bigger than I expected.
Has he got a drive on him? I imagine with that. you know, his clubs must be about.
Yeah, massive, yeah.
It's quite long. Fitted clubs, right?
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. You're studying? Where are you studying with your apprenticeship?
With Myersco College.
Myersco College as well. Jason's Myersco as well. So good year for Myersco.
Yeah, very good year. Yeah.
What's your relationship with the college? How do you interact with them?
Yeah, so it's mainly through my tutor, Adam Shoesmith.
Yeah.
You know, Adam's a former greenkeeper as well, so Adam's obviously done the same job that I've started to do, so he knows the tough parts of the jobs and bits which take a bit more time to learn. But Adam's been really supportive, not only on the college side but on the work side, you know.
Yeah.
Showing he's keeping not only me but Ed up to date and what progress I'm making and where I am on my course and how I can get better and push on and get a better grade.
Brilliant. So, brilliant. Sounds like there's a really good relationship there between Ed and tutors and yourself. That's fantastic. And where did your Torah student greenkeeper, who nominated you?
That was Adam.
Adam nominated
you? Yeah, so obviously reached it last year.
Yeah.
And Adam said, you know, it's an opportunity that you can't really turn down. Brilliant. So.
Oh, that's good of him.
Yeah.
So he nominated you. How did you feel when you were nominated?
Obviously, when Reese got nominated, I hadn't heard of the competition.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously I did a little bit of research then, but when Adam mentioned it, obviously I knew about the competition, so it was, you know, something I was looking forward to doing.
Cool. And you head off to regional interviews?
Yeah.
Was that nerve-wracking? How was that experience?
It was, yeah, because Ed, my course manager, was one of the judges as well, so...
All right.
I've got to impress him as well as the other two judges.
Yeah. That's probably worse, actually, because you know the next day he's going to be there and saying, well, why didn't you know that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that's nerve-wracking, definitely. But you got through it?
I did, yeah.
You did well?
Yeah.
Pat on the back for him. And what happens next on that journey?
So, obviously, I find out that I've got through to this.
And it's a call from Debs, right?
It was just from there, just reinforcing my knowledge. Obviously, I was coming up to my end of my level two, so it's fitted in quite well with this, that the knowledge is all fresh, really, still.
Mm-hmm.
So the level two and this have fitted in quite well together to
that's obviously
help me, yeah.
Yeah. And obviously it happens and yeah, the grass eye end, I mean that's brilliant that you do that, and the course walk is obviously interesting, but it's an opportunity to share your knowledge.
Like,
and were you surprised at the The informality, the relaxedness of the coursework, how much you get that conversation.
Yeah, I was quite surprised. I was expecting, I mean, my coursework for my actual level two wasn't as serious as I thought it was going to be, but it wasn't relaxed, obviously, because you've got to get your points crossed and you need to try and get the best grade you can. But this was far more relaxed, you know.
Yeah.
I actually learned quite a bit about some new trees which I haven't heard of.
Brilliant.
And
do you have to make a point to, if you're walking around and you see something, but maybe they've mentioned something over there, to say, I know about this here, should we talk about this? Do you have to make a point?
Yeah, you sort of have to.
Do you have to take charge of the crosswalk?
Yeah, you have to make sure that they're aware that you might mean something else.
Yeah.
And obviously, it's good that you can identify something and go, oh, I've found something.
Yeah.
And I can just show you it and, yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. What's next for you? How are you celebrating? Are you going back to work? Or
back into work tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Right, nearly 7 o'clock.
Nice.
So you meet back with Ed and German.
Yeah.
Go from there.
Do you call your mum to say I won the...
Oh, I told them all last night, and obviously it was the... Ed and Adam were really pleased.
Yeah.
Obviously, Adam put Reese forward last year, and yeah, I think... He was quite proud that I've won.
Yeah.
As well as Ed. Obviously my mum and dad support me all the way, whatever I do, so they were obviously really happy for me.
Brilliant. All right, fantastic, mate. Congratulations. Thank you. Well done. And we'll leave that there if that's all right.
The Green Room Golf Course Podcast is produced by myself, Carl Hansel, on behalf of the British and International Golf Greenkeepers Association. For questions, comments and concerns, you can get in touch with me by emailing carl@bigger.co.uk. That's Carl with a K. You can also join the conversation on social media using @greenroombigger. And we've also got a Facebook page where all the latest notices, news releases and information from Bigger can be found. We're also on Instagram using @bigger_HQ. Subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. The more people know about the sports turf industry, the more understanding they will have about the hard work of Bigger members and other greenkeepers. And speaking of Bigger membership, if you're inspired by what you hear to progress your career in greenkeeping, then a major first step is signing up to the association. The opportunities for career development are countless and potentially life-changing, such as volunteer opportunities at major tournaments and educational opportunities across Europe and the USA. Don't forget, if you're a golfer and you've got any questions about anything you hear on the podcast, have a conversation with the greenkeepers at your club. They've got the expertise to explain what's happening at the course and how it fits into the team's long-term vision to improve playability and enjoyment of the facility.